Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, the decision to retire early sounds really good, but the question is, are you really ready? Are you truly ready? So before you take that plunge, we've put together some things to consider before you do, and before you get that gold watch, we're going to help you figure out the best path for you.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. This is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. I'm Steve Siddall. We have got a lot to talk about today, Kevin. Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're doing great, and it's always good to be here, Steve. Thank you.
Well, we were just talking about, it's really a difficult time for a lot of folks right now because, I mean, again, do you want to retire early? Do you need to retire? There are a lot of questions, certainly, and just because you want to doesn't mean you can.
Oh, gosh. No, it certainly doesn't. It certainly doesn't because I've got a lot of clients that, have talked about, they've been looking forward to retirement. They say, well, I'd really like to retire now. And I say, you know what? I know exactly what you mean. Because, I'm 59. So we're in that red zone. And I understand the appeal of retirement, spending your day on the golf course or, in the boat or fishing or traveling or whatever you might like to do. But of course, we've got to make sure that we're all ready because it could be a long retirement, right? If you're retiring at 60 or 65, you could have potentially a 30-year retirement. You could have a longer one. There are people, I think they said there's over 400,000 centenarians in the U.S. right now.
Oh, my gosh. That's got to be a new record, huh?
I believe it is, and it's supposed to keep on growing and growing and growing. And so, guys, there's a lot of people making it to 100. And now I know a lot of us think, there's no way that you might make it there, but some people do. And so I want to make sure that all my clients are ready if they do have this extraordinary long life, that they can live it the way they want to live it, that you don't have to sacrifice down the road because you just wanted to retire a couple of years early.
Sure.
So, it's really important that we take a look at everything and make sure we've got, all our T's crossed and the I's dotted, so to speak.
Exactly.
And one of the things that I've recommended anybody that's listened to the show, you probably know my opinion on it, is that one great way to start is to achieve debt-free status and before you retire. And I'm not the only one. A lot of advisors recommend getting out of debt entirely. That includes paying off the mortgage, paying off the car. If you still have student loans or you're paying for student loans for a child or grandchild, to be done with all the debt service. So if there's any interest being made, the idea is that you can be making the interest by having that money saved or invested rather than paying that interest to some banker making Jamie Dimon all that much richer.
Yes.
And so just remember the bankers, these guys are making $30, $35, $40 million a year. Jamie Dimon, I'm pretty sure, is a boss at Chase. I'm pretty sure he's a solid billionaire at this point.
Probably.
Right. So he doesn't need you to keep on paying him any interest. So let's do ourselves a favor and get out of debt. Because when you do that, you're going to be able to get your bills so much lower. And I've talked about before how you know, I really enjoy being debt free. You know, everything's paid for, house, cars, all that. But my cars are 20 years old, right? I'm not driving a brand new car. I'm driving a car that's 20 years old, but I bought it brand new, and it's still in great shape. I'm very particular and rigorous with the maintenance. And anybody needs a good mechanic in the area locally, by the way, should give me a call, because it took me a long time, but I finally found an honest mechanic. It's not an oxymoron.
Well, right? Good for you. That is a monumental task achieved.
Oh my gosh. Steve, you know what? When me and my wife moved out here in 2011, the very first mechanic we went to, we took my wife's SUV. She drives a Yukon Denali, and we took it in there, and he says, "Oh my God, you need to get rid of this car. It's not going to last. You know, there, I see all this rust on the bottom of it. It's not going to make it." Well, that was 13 years ago. All right.
I guess that rust wasn't really an issue then.
No, the rust was not a problem because it's on the bottom of the car, because when we lived in Illinois, she parked outside, even though we had a garage. She parked outside, and so over the years, it caused rust on the bottom of the vehicle. But if you look at it from the side, it looks beautiful. You can't tell at all. It's just when the mechanic puts it up on the rack and they're underneath it, then they can see the rust. But anybody, we all know this, I'm sure, and I know sometimes you just don't feel like looking around, or maybe you don't have the time, you're busy with other things, and you just follow whatever recommendation they give you. But if I had done that, we would have spent thousands and thousands of dollars on repairs that we did not need. We'd have bought a new car that we didn't need. And so anytime somebody, a mechanic, would tell me that I needed really anything more than a couple hundred dollars of basic work, I'd say, you know what, I think I'm going to get another opinion. I'll come back here if I need to get that work done. And then I would take it to another shop, and they'd say, you know what, I can fix this for a fraction of the cost. You don't need to do that. And so ultimately we found an honest guy. They are out there. So, and he's very busy because other people have figured it out too.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what, he's the only mechanic that I've taken my cars to multiple times. And he says, you know what? You don't need to do anything. He goes, we tighten this up or tighten that up. You don't owe me anything.
And
literally. Okay.
I can tell you how to earn your business.
I'm telling you what, Steve, this not just once, man, probably five or six times. We've taken it in there because I'm like, hey, the brakes are feeling a little squeaky, you know, feeling a little funky. Do you think I need to, you know, get new rotors to get my rotors turned or something? And he's like, no, they're fine. They're fine. He goes, you could probably get another year out of them. You know?
Oh, gosh.
And he doesn't charge me anything. So
that's fantastic. Wow.
All right. So
you really did find somebody.
Oh, God, I tell you what, we lucked up on him, and, you know, and I'm going to stay with him as long as he's there. So
yeah, why not?
You know, but guys, what my point in this story is that, you know, it's easy for us to waste money. There every day somebody is probably coming up to you trying to sell you something or figuring out how to get your money out of your pocket and into theirs. And that's what I tell my wife, is we want to do everything we can to keep every dollar we can. If we need work done, fine, we'll get the work done. But I'm going to get another estimate, maybe two or three, before I actually commit to it. Because I have seen many, many times when they just lie to you and tell you need to do something, you don't. So if you can surround yourself with people that you know you can trust over your lifetime, that is going to save you so much grief and so much heartache and save you so much money that you'll be well rewarded. So find a good tax person, find a good advisor, find a good, you know, a good lawyer and a good mechanic and a good carpenter or handyman that can help you out around the house. And that alone will help you contribute thousands of dollars to your retirement.
Oh, of course. And folks, if you want to reach out to Kevin, you can find him at silverleaffinancial.com, silverleaffinancial.com, or you can call 800-975-6717. So yeah, debt, get rid of some debt or all of it. but then we got to understand that as we get a little bit older, our risk tolerance changes, and perhaps we need to be reminded of what our risk tolerance is.
Yes. And you know what? It's one thing. You know, when somebody does a risk profile, like when you sit down with advisors, they should have good conversations with you that help them figure out how much risk to take with your portfolio. Because there's millions of different things. There are literally thousands of different ways you can invest your funds. All sorts of different securities, stocks, bonds, funds, you name it. There's a lot of ways you can invest, and there's a lot of ways you can lose money. And what happens is when the markets are going well, most people tend to think that everything is fine with their risk profile because they see their account value going up and they're making money. All right. It's when the market goes down, right? It's that old, I don't know, was it Warren Buffett or somebody else says, you know, it's not until the tide goes out that you see who's swimming without their shorts on.
Yeah.
Right. I believe that was Warren Buffett.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's what he's talking about. He's like, you can't really tell, you know, if you're taking too much risk until you start to lose money, right? And then it's like, holy crap, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing you want to do, one thing I look at with a portfolio when I look at it, and like now we've been in a good bull market for a while, stocks are going up. I want to look at the portfolio and see if everything in your portfolio have a one-to-one correlation? I mean, when something goes up 1%, does everything in your account go up 1%? Because you want to ask yourself, is that diversified if everything is moving in lockstep? If everything is moving the same direction at the same time, do you have a diversified account? Now, maybe you do, right? It's possible. But there's been a heavy concentration in the stock market in large cap tech stocks for quite a while now. And so a lot of people, they might have different funds, and they might see that their different investments, mutual funds or exchange traded funds, are doing well. But you need to look deeper. You need to look underneath the hood. And if this isn't something you like to do, then you need to find an advisor like me that's happy to do it, because we need to go inside and dissect that portfolio to see what's going on underneath the hood. Because maybe all of your mutual funds, maybe all of them own NVIDIA. Maybe they all own the same stocks that have been going higher, and that's why they're all doing well. But if those stocks turn, then your entire portfolio is going to turn south, right? So what you need to have is well, some things are zigging, something else needs to be zagging, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense.
All right, and so that's why we talk about diversification, and we want to make sure you're not taking too much risk. So now is a great time. The market's close to record highs. Now is a really good time to sit down with the advisor and analyze your portfolio. And this is opposite what a lot of people want to do. A lot of people, Steve, when they see their portfolio doing well, they say, why do I need to talk to anybody? Everything's doing well. It's making money.
Right.
My point is that's a great time to do it, because if you have to make any changes, chances are we can do it at a profit right now. But if you wait until the tide goes out, we might have to be looking at losses.
Ooh.
All right. And so I think it's a great time to take a look, because what happens, a lot of people love technology, right? They love tech stocks. You know, I think everybody and their mother owns Apple by now. And so one question is, well, who's left to buy it? And so it's one thing to have great performance in the past, but it doesn't mean it's going to continue in the future. So we need to be vigilant and diligent and stay on top of our holdings. Make sure something doesn't become too big a part of your portfolio. You know, if you've owned NVIDIA for the last 10 years, then it's probably a huge portion of your portfolio, and you should probably trim it to because it's become too big of a position. All right. So that's the type of portfolio maintenance we want to look at. But it all starts with making sure you're not taking too much risk, and because that can be deadly going into retirement.
Of course. And, you know, one of the things, too, is side note, but I was looking today, the CPI came out, right? The Consumer Price Index.
Yes, it did.
For inflation. It's
yes.
Up a little bit.
It is. In fact, it's still running between 3 and 4%.
Does that mean no reduction in interest from the Fed?
In my opinion, it should mean no reduction.
Okay.
Personally, I don't want them to cut rates. I think it's too soon to cut rates, because I'm not convinced inflation is behind us, partly because of this report, right? It was, I think, one was up 3 and the other was up 3.8. And so I think if you, when they strip out a couple of the key components, which they like to do, it gets it to 3, you know, which obviously looks more favorable for them. And so, but I think the fact of the matter is housing, which they call shelter now, housing was up, I want to say, between 5 and 6% in the last year. And so housing is really still one of the tough ones. So I think, in my opinion, what's going on is that remember the government has passed some of the biggest spending bills, right, that we've seen in a long time. We've got one of the biggest infrastructure packages that was passed under the Biden administration. That is, I believe, the biggest infrastructure spend in something like 50 or 60 years. And so there's a lot of money coming from the government that's going out to contractors and employers, and that's creating jobs, right? And that's what's helping keep our unemployment rate low. But as long as everybody has a job and the unemployment rate stays below 4%, like it has been now for, I believe, also the longest stretch since the 50s or 60s, the economy is actually doing very well, all right? I know there are talking heads on different news stations that if you listen to them, you're going to think the world is coming to an end and that everything is bad. The fact of the matter is the numbers don't show that. The numbers show the economy doing well. the economy is employment is doing well. Still, it was 3.8% for unemployment. And so in my opinion, until you start to see unemployment increase, I think it's hard to make, for me, it's hard to make an argument for them to cut rates.
All right. Yeah, well, I think that makes sense, Kevin. And another note, I'll just say, I was curious. I saw the story in the Wall Street Journal that, what is the headline, says, more Americans are treating their 401ks like cash machines.
Yes.
And so what's happened is you know, people get automatically enrolled. That money is there. All of a sudden, emergency comes up. They take money out. I just saw the statistic, 3.6% of its plan participants from Vanguard took money out last year. That's up from 2.8% in 22 and a pre-pandemic average of about 2. So basically from 2 to 3.6, it's going the wrong way.
It is going the wrong direction, and I would caution anybody to wait before you withdraw money from your retirement accounts until maybe you've already looked at other avenues or other possibilities, but that should be your very, very last resort, all right? Because when you pull money out of the retirement accounts, if you're below 59 and a half, you're going to have to pay a 10% penalty, plus you're going to pay taxes on that money. And in the great majority of 401k withdrawals, most of them do have a loan provision where technically you could take that money out as a loan and then pay it back to yourself. But I think the majority of people do not do that. And so it is concerning. I know that the stage we're at in the economy right now, the people that are on the lower end of the income scale, they're starting to struggle and they're having trouble. They're showing greater delinquency rates with their credit card payments. And it is growing. The bulk of the population is doing just fine, but the people on the lower end of the scale, they're starting to have some trouble. And that is this normal situation that occurs. Obviously, if you have fewer resources, then they're going to get depleted more quickly. And so what I want to say, though, is if there's anything else you can do to keep that retirement plan intact, that's what I would suggest you do. I know also, Steve, you know, something else that surprised me is something earlier this week. I saw a report that something close to half the population is supporting an adult child over the age of 25.
Oh, my God. Half?
That's what the report said. Yeah.
And you know, holy cow. And I'm lucky. My kids never came back.
Oh, God. Good for you. You are lucky. You did well. And, yeah. And you know what? The average amount of assistance is $1,500 a month.
Wow.
And I said, my God.
Talk about a cash machine for mom and dad.
There's your cash machine. That's like a mortgage payment. I mean.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy. And guys, I know that's one of the problems that a lot of parents have. It's very hard to say no. I understand that. I grew up with a sister that lived like that. And my parents had a very, very difficult time saying no. Most of the time they did not. They usually gave her what she wanted. And she wound up living a life where she depended on them virtually her entire life. I don't believe you're doing anybody any real favors when you do that, in my opinion. I know it might sound callous or cold, but I do believe once you're past the age of 25, I believe you should be 100% independent. And the problem with parents giving their kids quote-unquote loans is they never get paid back.
I was going to say, when's the last time that happened, a payback?
Right? Oh, yeah, my mother kept meticulous notes. You see, when I went to college, my parents made too much money for me to qualify for aid, but they did not want to give me money or loan me money to go to college because they didn't do it for any of my older brothers or sisters.
Yeah.
And so I started off at community college, but then going to a four-year, I did have to borrow money. And my mother kept meticulous notes in a ledger about every single loan she made, the date, the amount, everything. And then when I graduated and got a job and started working, I made sure, Mom, go back to that ledger and make sure you make a record that I'm paying this back.
Yeah.
And I paid back every penny. And unfortunately, she did the same thing for my sister, but sis never paid it back. So that was over $100,000 that that we know my parents gave her that was never paid back.
It's over a number of years, I would guess.
That was over many, many years. Yeah, over many years. Yeah. They also bought her a house, for the record, to live in, which she never paid rent on. So anyway, but my point is, it doesn't, in my experience, that's not really helping the child. All right, because it becomes this cash, like Steve, they've got this cash machine known as their parents.
Yes.
Why do they need to grow up? Why do they need to take responsibility if you're just going to bail them out all the time? And I know it's difficult. There are books out there called Tough Love. that actually talk about this, and they're written by psychologists and psychiatrists. And the whole point is, yes, we know it's tough to love your child and to tell them no, but sometimes that's the best thing you can do.
Right. So, are you willing to be the bad guy?
What do you mean, me?
Yeah. On behalf of a client, you realize that it could be a problem. Do you talk to that sibling or that person?
I will, but usually they don't want me to.
Okay.
I'd be happy to do it, but usually they don't want me to. They say no, they can handle it, or it's only temporary, something like that. But usually they don't want me to. But for the record, I'd be happy to, because you know I do that with other family members. You know, like I was talking to Steve before the show, and I mentioned that, you know, as clients get older, I've got a lot of clients that have been with me for 20, 25 years, and a lot of them are in their late 70s, 80s, some into their 90s now. And I can tell from talking to them and knowing them over the years, I can recognize when their memory's starting to fade, or when they might be starting to get dementia, things like that. And so when these things happen, I have to ask them if I can have a conversation with their child, you know, about just their overall situation, because I want to bring the kid in. I want to bring their child in, or bring somebody else in, right, that can help me to deal with it. Because when people start to lose their memory or dementia starts to develop, it can go a million different directions. And you want to make sure that everybody's being careful and aware of what's happening so that the person is protected and that nobody takes advantage of them. Because what I do know, seniors are targeted by all the criminals and the con men and women more than any other group, because they know that as we get older, our decision-making ability tends to go down. Our ability to ration and reason goes down, and our ability to fight back goes down. And a lot of crooks and criminals know this. And that's why, unfortunately, the seniors lose billions of dollars a year to criminal activity.
Wow. So, and again, I mean, I know there are ways that you can help avoid that, but I mean, it just seems to be a pervasive problem. I guess the bad guys are always out there.
They are, and they're always looking for new and creative ways to take your money from you, to steal from you. I get emails and text messages every day, all day. I get dozens and dozens of spam messages every day about how, you know, oh, this guy in Nigeria wants to send me money, right?
Sure he does.
And oh, click on this link because you got to reset your password. And all these other, it's malware, it's any number of, it could be identity theft, could be any number of things. But we have to be very, very vigilant, especially if you're a senior or have a senior relative that spends time on the computer. You need to make sure they understand, you know, to be very careful. It can be really easy to get conned. And what you notice is that when people, and you know what, now that I'm saying it, I remember my own father. My own father was conned out of thousands and thousands of dollars. Mm. And what is common is that when one of these individuals falls prey to a con man or a con woman or a criminal, they're embarrassed and they're ashamed and they don't want to tell anybody. A lot of times they don't tell anybody. The only way we found out about it with my father, and this is going back 20 years, the way we found out about it with my father is that my mother passed many years earlier, and my dad was living alone well into his late 80s. And at one point, we could tell his memory was going. And so we convinced him to let one of us, you know, have control, be authorized, you know, on his bank accounts so that the bank would send us statements and things like that. And it's because of that, my oldest brother was the one that lived closest to him. And so he gave him that authority. And it's because my brother was watching the activity in his bank accounts that he noticed these several, you know, like $5,000 withdrawals in cash. And so somehow somebody was calling my father's home, convincing him that somebody needed money that was a relative or something like that. And they actually I don't even know the exact story, but they got him to actually drive to the Midway Airport in Chicago.
Oh my gosh.
And meet him in the parking lot to give him this cash. And now a logically irrational person would say, you got to be kidding me. What are you talking about? Why wouldn't he say something to somebody? And I can't answer that for you. I can't answer. It wasn't, my dad lost 20 grand before we even found out about it. And then when we had him file a police report, which he didn't want to contact the police because he, like I said, he was embarrassed.
Of course. Right?
So guys, pay attention to any mental signs or cues in a person's language, the way they behave, the way they react, how they're paying attention to their bills. If they seem like they're going downhill, then maybe you should have a conversation to see if you could help them monitor their bills or to monitor their accounts so that you can keep an eye. You've got to be diligent, though, to make sure nothing inappropriate is going on. We wouldn't have seen it if my brother wasn't able to look at his statements and see these random withdrawals for cash. And then when we asked him about it, what is this for? Why did he take out all this money? That's how we were able to pinpoint it. The other thing they'll do, because my father at some of the time, my nephew was living with him. You know, my great nephew, if you will, was living with him for part of the time, but he worked, right? And so he was gone during the day. These criminals, when they're calling the person at home, they're going to try to find out when they're alone, because they don't want to call when anybody else is in the house.
No,
all right?
Of course not.
So if you come in, if you walk into a room and you see an older person talking to somebody and then they want to hang up the phone, they want to get off the phone right away, you need to have a conversation with them. You need to find out what's going on, because the criminals convince them that they shouldn't talk to anybody else about it because they know that's how they'd be caught, all right? So that's what was happening with my father. Randy, my nephew, would come in and he'd say, yeah, he was on the phone talking to somebody and then he hung up right away. And so after we put it all together, that's how we figure out what was going on. Wow. So guys, this is an everyday thing. Please, you know, talk to your parents, your grandparents, whoever you might know, to make sure they're not also a potential victim of one of these criminals, because they can do it over the phone and convince people to just give them money, even though you would think that person would never do that. Because I never thought my father would fall prey to somebody like that, but he did multiple times.
Mm. Wow, Kevin, that's a lesson right there. Well, I'll tell you what, it also makes me think of your book, The Millionaire's Guide to Tax-Free Money for Long-Term Care. We're talking about, you know, long-term care. We're talking dementia. Really goes right to it.
Yes, and guys, by all means, please feel free to go to the website or give me a phone call. I'll be happy to send you the book free of charge. I can email it to you. There's no cost. There's no commitment. I would just like to get everybody the information, because if you do find yourself in that situation or a relative, I can show you how you can use tax-free money to pay for the care, all right? So whatever tax bracket you're in, we can save that money right off the top. It's perfectly legal. There's nothing unethical about it. It's just saying you don't have to pay tax on this if it's going for a qualified purpose. And so if you do it properly, I can show you how to reposition assets so that you can use pre-tax or tax-free money to pay for long-term care. And I go over that in that book, so please feel free to request that book.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's called The Millionaire's Guide to Tax-Free Money for Long-Term Care. And again, so this is, I mean, let's... Again, we're going to end up talking about making sure we're just mentally prepared to go into retirement, not the least of which is dementia and all of the other things.
Oh, not to mention it. And there's a lot of things to be concerned about as you go into retirement. I've got some clients I'm talking to about long-term care, a single lady, she's been spending her money very quickly, and I'm trying to get her to slow down on the spending, because if she needs long-term care, she might not have the money. So it is something we want to make sure you take a look at. I always suggest to people, if you have a history of dementia in your family, Alzheimer's or dementia, or stroke, all right, stroke oftentimes leads to one of these conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the precursors that lead people into a nursing home. And I think a lot of people know that basic nursing homes can easily be $5,000 or $6,000 a month, and they can go all the way up into $11,000, $12,000, $13,000 a month. For a memory care facility. And I've got clients that are in them right now. And so you want to be aware of it. But there's also a lot of people that you can hire to be a caregiver that can come to your house that can be much, much cheaper. They can come to your house maybe a few hours a day to help you out with things around the house. So there's a lot of different ways you can tackle it. But as you're transitioning and trying to figure out, are you ready to retire? One of the things you want to think about is the mental aspect too. You know, because if you're used to working 40 or 50 hours away from the home, and now all of a sudden you're not leaving to go anywhere, you're going to find yourself with a lot of extra time, right?
Yes.
And so one thing I suggest is do a trial. You know, can you take off a couple months from your job without actually retiring? And then just try to imagine yourself retired and see how you're going to spend your day. A lot of times people feel like they lose their social connections when they retire because that's, you know, that's where you're spending all your days, and you've got friends there, right?
Of course, that's life.
And so when you stop doing that, are you going to maintain, are you going to keep in touch with those friends? Are you going to still see them? You know, or do you have to find new social outlets, right? And there's a lot of communities. I'll tell you one nice thing about the retirement communities, the 50 or 55 plus communities, is most of them have all sorts of groups and clubs that, you know, like I know a lot of them have clubs, like state clubs, like all the people from Illinois get together once a month to talk about, you know, how great life was in Illinois or
right, of course.
California or Georgia or North Carolina or any place else. And not in addition to all the hobbies, right, there are golf clubs, billiards clubs, dart clubs, ping pong or table tennis, and all sorts of cards, all sorts of things that you can do that can give you a way to meet other people, you know, similar to in your own age group that share a hobby that you enjoy too. So to me, that's a great way to do it. Obviously, religion, a lot of people meet people at their church or synagogue or something. So there's a lot of things to do, but it's important that you find a way to spend your time so you have activities that you can enjoy that can help you maintain your mental sharpness as well as staying in shape physically. We know more and more every day with research that if you stay physically active, going to a gym, doing strength training and cardiovascular fitness, all right, is beneficial all throughout your life, but especially as you get older. And you know what else I read, guys? Unfortunately, for some reason, women seem to get a lot more benefit out of exercise than men.
Really? Why is that, I wonder?
You know, I don't know. They went into the size of their lungs and the size of their heart and all this other stuff, and you could have to do your own research, but I'm still looking into it more. But I read an article last week that said that women can get the same results in about half the time as men.
Well, good. Good for them.
It's great for them, but I'm like, what the heck? You know,
yeah.
come on. And so nonetheless, I think it's important. But if you stay in shape and you stick with weight training, you can help prevent some of the illnesses like osteoarthritis or osteoporosis,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the bones, like weightlifting and strength training, helps maintain the strength of your bones. So maybe you won't, you know, when you fall down, maybe you won't break your hip. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So try
reason enough right there to just to exercise.
You know what? Yeah. And with nothing else, but it's just easier to go about day-to-day life if you're in better shape.
Yes, of course.
So by all means, stay active physically, mentally, and give me a call, and I'll be happy to figure out how close you are to retirement. Or maybe I can say, you know what? Congratulations, you're there. You can do it right now.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio X-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.